That is the choices that we make. And I guess if you want to put a title to this, it would be Life is All About Choices. And it really is. As I was thinking about this week and put the final touches on this morning, I thought about this verse in Acts chapter 26, where Paul is before King Agrippa. And in Acts chapter 26, he says in verse 24, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing," he's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection, "was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." And Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That tells me something. That tells me that Agrippa had a choice. One of the great things about living in the dispensation of the grace of God, and one of the great things about the grace of God, is that we have a free will. And we are allowed to make choices. And much of our life and what happens in our life is determined by those choices. Now, there are certain things that are going to happen in life that you're not going to have any choice about. People don't choose to get sick. People don't choose to have relatives pass away. People don't choose to be killed in accidents. So there are circumstances of life that come upon us that we have no choice about. However, even in those, we do have a choice as to how we respond to those events of our life. And we can respond to them according to how God would have us respond, or we can respond to those things according to our flesh. And most of the time, our flesh wins out, because we have within ourselves self-preservation, all those kind of things going on. But the bottom line comes down to the fact that we all have choices. And some of the choices are more difficult than others. I've always said that by and large, except for the exceptions I just mentioned a moment ago, people do what they choose to do. Every one of you, except for maybe the young people that were told they had to, are here today because you chose to be here today. You could have chosen to stay in bed a little longer. You could have chosen to maybe go out somewhere and do something different. But for whatever reason, you chose to be here today. Now, I personally think that was a good choice. When we're done here, you may not. But the point is that we all make choices. And many times we try to make excuses for our bad choices. But folks, no matter how many excuses you make, they're still our choices. And you have to live with those choices. Now, I'm going to use a very carnal illustration, because my favorite country music singer of all times was George Jones. And I know that's about as carnal as you can get. But George Jones, it's well known that George was an alcoholic from a very young age. And alcohol did an awful lot to destroy many aspects of his life. It caused him to lose the love of his life, as far as one of his wives. It caused him a near-death experience from a car wreck. It cost him financially. It cost him in relationships. Not only his wife, but his family relationships. But I think the important thing about all that, and the most significant, is that George was kind of given a second chance. Back in the mid-90s, George Jones was involved in a wreck over in Williamson County, outside Franklin, Tennessee. He was drunk, He was driving about 11 o'clock at night, and there's a two-lane, it's a two-lane highway. And as a matter of fact, I was on that highway the week after the accident happened, and there's a bridge embutment there, guardrails, concrete, you know how the old two-lane highways were. And he was over too far to the right and hit that thing, never hit his brakes. And it almost killed him. He spent several months in the hospital. And he went through a great depression. And he saw psychologists and so forth. And finally, someone said, "George, who is it that you think could help you?" And he said, "I want to talk to Vestal Goodman." Vestal Goodman was a Southern gospel singer. And I've heard her testimony of salvation, and I believe the woman was saved. And so she went to George, and she said, "George, the answer is not in a bottle. The answer is not in your music. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone." On George's deathbed, his wife was there shedding tears and holding his hand, knowing that his moments were short. And he looked at her and he said, "Honey, don't cry." He said, "I led a terrible life, but then I met the Lord, and now I'm going to heaven." He wrote a song back in 1998 called Choices, or he sung a song called Choices. And it became his anthem. So much so that in 1999, he was asked to perform the song at the CMA Awards in Nashville. But when they told him he could not perform the whole song, he said he wouldn't sing it without singing all of it. And so he was not invited to the CMA that year because he refused to sing. What was interesting was Alan Jackson, during the middle of his performance, cut his performance off and sung Choices. Immediately finishing that, he walked out of the auditorium and did not participate in the CMA any further. And George said that when that happened, he wept because the song meant so much to him. It's a very simple song. It says, "I had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. I was tempted by an early age, I found. I liked drinking, and I never turned it down. There were loved ones, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I've made. I guess I'm paying for the things that I've done. If I could go back, oh Lord, knows I'd run. But I'm still losing this game of life I play, losing and dying with the choices I've made. I've had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made." Now, I know that's maybe kind of far-fetched to put that much time on talking about a country music singer, but the point is this, folks. We're all just like George Jones. We're all sinners. And we all have different problems in our life. And it might not be alcohol or drugs, but I can tell you that one day you're going to be just like him, and you're going to look back at your life, and you're going to know for a certainty that much of what happened in your life was based on the choices you made. I think about King Agrippa, and I think about the fact that if that man never changed his mind on what he said there, King Agrippa has been in hell since the day that he died. He had a choice. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." We all have choices. And I want to mention this morning two or three of those that are of the utmost importance. Number one, every person can choose whether to be saved or not saved. Now I know that the Calvinistic doctrine goes against that. And the idea is that God has elected some to be saved and some to be lost. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you're here this morning lost, you can be saved. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can choose. You see, people choose to believe what they want to believe. As I said a moment ago, many children, they're brought up in church. They don't have any choice. I never had a choice about whether I could go to church or not. If the doors were open, we were going to be there. And I often thought, if I ever get to the age where I'm not living at home anymore, I'll not be going to church anymore. I'm tired of this. But you know what? I got saved. I got involved in the church, and it was very important to me. Later got saved. And hopefully, much of my choices have been based on the fact that I am saved. And hopefully yours are as well. But there was a point in time when I chose to quit trying to save myself and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was not some supernatural kind of thing where God woke me up in the middle of the night, like I heard a man say, and told me I was saved. How do I know I'm saved today? Because of what the book says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, notice, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Why is it that people's minds have been blinded from the light of the glorious gospel? One reason, because they believe not. And if you believe not, it's because you choose to believe not. And if you believe, it's because you choose to believe. And this morning, you can choose to believe the simple truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. You can choose to believe that and accept that as your salvation. And if you do, God will save you and seal you unto the day of redemption. You've got a choice. You can be like King Agrippa and say, "Well, almost I believed. I remember there was a day I almost trusted Christ as my Savior." It's not about walking the aisle. You don't have to choose today whether you're going to walk the aisle or not. You don't have to choose today whether you're willing to be dunked in water or not. You don't have to choose today whether you're willing to go down to the altar and pray the sinner's prayer. All you have to choose is, are you going to believe the gospel and receive the free gift of salvation? If you've never done that, you can do it right now. If you have done it, then hopefully you know the time when you chose to believe and allow the Word of God to have free reign, and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and today you're saved and sealed. Another choice you can make is you can choose whether to believe the Bible or not. We talked about truth in the earlier hour. When you're confronted with the Word of God, you can choose whether you're going to believe it or you're going to reject it. You can believe the junk that's taught by science today. You can believe in evolution. You can believe in all kind of humanism and fallacies and all that kind of stuff. Or you can believe the Bible means what it says. Somebody asked me, said, "Well, how do you know that that's truth?" I don't absolutely know. I know by faith. But then faith is involved. But you know why I believe the Bible? I choose to believe the Bible. I believe every word of it is the Word of God. I believe every word of it was inspired. Do I understand all of it? No. But I believe it. Do I believe it was all written directly to me? Absolutely not. That's why I talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe 2 Timothy 2:15 is important when Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed." Rightly dividing the word of truth. One day, I was confronted by reading my own Bible with some truths that went against everything that I had been taught in the denominational system I grew up in. And what I came to see was that there were differences in the kingdom teaching of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. I even mentioned it to my wife, and we both were a little hesitant about that because it was so different from what we had been taught. But you know what? After I continued to read and study, I chose to believe that. There are people that are confronted with truth from this book, and they choose not to believe it. As we mentioned earlier, sometimes it's because of tradition. Sometimes it's because of a particular preacher or teacher that they're very close to. But every person that is presented the Word of God, everybody that has a Bible, you're going to choose what you believe about that book. And you may believe that it's not at all the Word of God. It's just what a bunch of man put together and so forth. And if you believe that, you're free to do so. But I can tell you, this book can have an impact on your life if you will believe it. If you will choose to believe it. You can choose whether or not you're saved. You can choose whether you believe the Bible. And you can choose the kind of life that you're going to live. Look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. Paul says there in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." That is, in the power of your flesh. You see, you can choose to either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Now, there are going to be things that are going to be, there are going to be consequences of both. There are going to be some things that are going to happen as a result of walking in the flesh, and they may be very detrimental. There's also going to be some things that are going to happen if you walk in the Spirit. And if we read on further down, you'd read about the fruit of the Spirit and what those are. But you make a choice. You're not made to do those things. You choose to. Notice what Paul says over in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now that is a principle that God established in His Word that is irreversible. You're not going to change that. You reap what you sow. And I heard someone say one time, the thing about reaping is you generally reap later than you sow, and you generally reap more than you sow. But you reap what you sow. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to reap to the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to reap the results of the flesh. I mean, I hear people make statements all the time about how God did this and how He did that to try to teach people things, that kind of thing. People say, well, I mean, come on, you get in an automobile and drive down the road 90 miles an hour around curves and so forth and run off the road and hit a tree and it killed you. People say, well, God was trying to teach him a lesson. No, you reap what you sow. In the last couple of 3 years here, there have been a number of teenagers that have been killed in car wrecks. A disturbing number. Scares you to death when you have young teens that are just starting to drive. In those car wrecks, most of them, almost everyone I've heard about in the news, has been a one car accident. And most all of them either involved alcohol or speeding. You see, if you get in a car and you choose to get in that car drunk or under drugs or completely sober and drive in an irresponsible manner, and that's not just for the teenagers, for all of them. Come on. You can't blame God for the result. He gave us a brain, folks. You reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you shall the flesh reap corruption. And just for my wife's sake, I will throw in here a little bit about texting. That's the forever joke at our house. Because we believe that every accident that happens is because somebody was texting. But seriously, you heard about the wreck down there in Georgia this week where a car was hit by a train? Get this. Both the gates are down, the lights are flashing, and the bells are ringing, And a woman still goes through the intersection, and a train hits her car and knocks the rear end of it completely off. If it had been 7 foot different, she'd be dead today. You know why? She's texting. She was so engrossed in that, she didn't hear the bell, she didn't see the arms come down, or the lights flashing, or the train coming. That woman made a choice. She's only a few feet from being dead because of that choice. I mean, I'm not just talking about these guys. Listen, folks, every day of our life we're confronted with choices. And we have choices to make about what we do and where we go and what we say. Now, I want you to look at a couple of verses, and we're going to wrap this up early. But there are some guidelines in your Bible, in Paul's epistles, that tell us how to make choices and what they should be based upon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Paul's writing here to save people. He said, you were this, but now in Christ, you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. Now notice his next verse, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. Now sometimes people just want to grab that part out and get real established in that and go about and bounce. Listen, we're under grace. All things are lawful for me. I can do whatever I want to. I don't have any restrictions. You do have a verse in your Bible that says you're going to reap what you sow. And notice what Paul also said. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then, over in 1 Corinthians 10, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's another verse very similar to this with just a little different wording. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So I believe there's three tests that you can put to your choices. Number one, and the decision I'm making, or the things I'm doing, are they expedient? You see, the word expedient has to do with that which is suitable for achieving a particular end. So, you may have some goals in life. You might have some desire. You might have in your mind where you want to be in several years as far as making a living. Sometimes you don't have any choice about that. I can tell you, I did not grow up as a 10, 11-year-old boy desiring to be an auditor at Blue Cross for 32 years. Didn't even know it existed. Now, there were some things I wanted to be. Number one was rich. But I didn't want to pay the price for what it took to get there. I had intended to go into a particular profession and didn't do it because the schooling was too difficult. It wasn't that I was stupid, it was just that I was too stupid to go to class. You see, you have goals, and what you end up doing as far as a life job or profession, whether it may vary tremendously. But as far as your personal decisions are concerned, some things you need to ask yourself about your decision. Number one, is what I'm doing expedient? Is it that which is going to benefit me as a Christian, going to cause me to walk according to the Word of God, or contrary to the Word of God? And remember what Paul said back there in 1 Corinthians 6? He said, I'll not be brought under the power of any. The second thing you need to ask yourself about your decision, is this going to enslave me? Am I fixed to get involved in something that's going to enslave me? Now, I know we think about things like alcohol and drugs. But listen, there are people that are slaves to many things. Paul said, all things are lawful to me. All things are not expedient. He said, I'll not be brought under the power of any. And then he says, all things edify not. To edify is to build up. To be built up. So ask yourself about your decisions. Is this going to build me up or is this going to tear me down? Is this going to make me better or is it going to make me worse? Is this going to cause me to be more of what God desires for me, or is it going to cause me to be less of what God desires for me? Does it edify? Is it expedient? Is it enslaving? And does it edify? Three tests. And of course, we can say much more about that. I've done an entire message on this particular subject. Is it profitable to you? Is it expedient? Is it going to be beneficial? It's all about choices, folks. Young people, old people, it's about the choices that we make. Choices about life, choices about where we go, what we do, what we eat, what we say, all of these things. Everything is about choices. Now, for those of you that are young people, let me ask you, or let me just give you some words of wisdom, not from the Bible, but some advice, personal advice. Number one, in making good choices, it's always a good thing to consult those that have gone before you. God has put people in your life, maybe parents, maybe grandparents, maybe other people that you know of. They've had the experiences. Glean from that. Listen to it. You know, the saying is that the only thing we've ever learned from history is that we don't learn from history. And unfortunately, it's very difficult for people to learn from other people's mistakes because generally they have to make their own. But I want to tell you something. There's much to be gleaned from people that have been down the road ahead of you. I was thinking about this the other day as I was on the internet searching for a motel. And you know, the internet is just used to. We take off out of town. And you know, you didn't know. I remember one time we went up to Gatlinburg and all I saw was in the Yellow Pages a place that was there, and all of our family was going to meet up there. And buddy, we got there, and that was the biggest dump you've ever seen in your life. I never did live that down. I didn't know anything. The picture in the phone book looked great. Problem was, the picture in the phone book was taking about 25 years before we got there. Now you got TripAdvisor. You've got all these reviews. You know what those are good for? Those are good. Those are good resources. You can find out other people's experience ahead of yours. You can make wiser choices because of information that other people have provided. The same is true in life. Don't think your parents are stupid and don't know anything or just because people are older that they have no insight. Well, you just don't understand because I'm a teen. Well, come on. Everybody else was at one time too. Say, yeah, but you were a teen way back there. I was, but I'm going to tell you something. There's some things never change. And there's many things that you can learn if you'll just sit and listen and glean from the advice of those that have been there before you. Second thing is, don't rush into major decisions. Don't be pushed into major. If you're not sure about what you want to do for a living, don't worry about declaring a major your freshman year in college. It may change. Like me. I realized I didn't want to be there. I got out and got a job. Not everybody's meant to go to college. You don't have to. You're young. Don't rush into major decisions. Don't try to force everything to be just like some type of pattern that's been established. Trying to meet the expectations of other people, your friends, your family, your peers, or whatever. And then last of all, and of course most important of everything, is consult the Word of God. You have a book, a manual for life that God has provided you. Each one of us do. And how many times do we take this book and have decisions to make and sit down and pore over the Word and try to make our decisions based on the Word of God? No matter how modern and how many years we become removed from the day that Christ walked the earth and the Apostle Paul stood and preached, there are truths in this book that are every bit as relevant today as they were the day they were written that can guide your life. They are principles. Might not address specifically what you're looking at, but there are principles there that if you'll take heed unto, it'll save you multitudes of trouble and difficulties in your life. It's all about choices. And the ones you make, not only today, but tomorrow, and next week, and the weeks to come, will shape your life for many, many years. I look back at my life, and there were some decisions I've made that were absolutely catastrophic in my own mind. Should have never made them. But you know what? God never turned His back on me. God didn't say, well, you made a bad decision. You're going to have to live with that. No, you know what? God's grace is always sufficient. That's one of the glories of the... You see, we do the very best we can. God's love never changes. He loves us. He cares for us. But He also desires that we walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called. And He's given us the instructions to do it. And I believe when Paul writes over in Ephesians 4 about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption, that grieving has to do with our refusal to submit ourselves to the truth of God's Word. And so you've got wonderful resources. And for those that are graduating, for you young people, and for all of us, we need to understand the resources that we have and use those for Christ's sake to be established in the truth and be what God desires for us to be. All right, I'm going to close there, and we're going to recognize our seniors that are here today. Some are not. And then we've got a small gift we want to present to them. So what I'm going to do is that I've got some little biographical sketches here, most of them written by the parents, and I edited a few of them because the parents were a little bit too proud of their children.